We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast, coming to you live on a Monday night. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always, and joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty well. I know we've got about 30 or 26 minutes now until Hoff with Pops, and I definitely am going to jump over there because there's some beat writer beef going on. I'll jump over there and ask if he was surprised by Keenan Allen being traded. But otherwise, I'm doing well. Steven, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, hopefully you guys stay in here for at least 26 minutes. You have our permission to go listen to Hops with Pops live if you are here. If you're not listening to this live, definitely encourage you to go over and check out Hops with Pops. It's one of the one of the best beat writers in the business, and we are very grateful to have him. Very grateful also for our guy Bolt Brett, who was able to create that image that's now going to be on our countdown. And tonight's show, as always, is brought to you by Prize Picks. So we'll have more on them later. But had to jump on tonight to break down the latest signings of center Bradley Bozeman. I should say injured offensive lineman. We don't know specifically center. I assume center. But Bradley Bozeman has officially signed. Troy Dye has officially signed. And Denzel Perryman has signed. So a lot to get into tonight. The Chargers, we kind of figured, would be shopping in this kind of aisle in free agency, and they have been able to do that. So we'll start with Mr. Bradley Bozeman. We talked on Saturday about the priority of the second wave of free agency, and we talked about center being that first priority. So Tyler, now that we have the center, kind of figured it would be Bradley Bozeman, but what are your thoughts here as we kind of look forward to the one-year deal of Bradley Bozeman?
Yeah, that was my thought. I figured it'd be Bradley Bozeman, and it was, and this is great for the Chargers. I'm not going to pretend this is a Corey Linsley signing or Pouncey signing. This is not the same caliber, but it was so essential for the Chargers to do this ahead of the draft. They have Hymus, and that's basically it at center. Mm-hmm. And maybe he becomes a great center. Who knows? But we don't know yet. I'm not saying Bozeman is a great center, but he's what the Chargers need right now, because you do a mock draft, and based on what everyone's kind of saying and how everyone's feeling, the Chargers aren't really going to have a shot at one of the three better center prospects at 37. It sounds like, you know, Jackson Powers-Johnson is definitely gone. Barton is probably gone, whether he's a center or not. And you're kind of hoping for Frazier at that point. And you don't want to go into the draft thinking, okay, it's either Frazier or a reach, or we take someone in the third round. At that point, and that person has to be your starter. At that point, it's getting too dicey. So them going to get Bozeman is awesome. I won't pretend like you can't look at PFF and see this wasn't his worst season of his career. Yeah. 8 sacks allowed versus 11 every year before that in combined. The first time he's ever allowed 30 or more pressures. But at the same time, where was he playing? who was coaching, who was calling plays, who was the quarterback. There's so much about Carolina that was not great and not great for anyone on offense, kind of in the same way that like Morgan Fox could not be himself on defense in Carolina. That franchise is not great. So I think that
you'd say,
yes, believe it or not, bold take. I wouldn't look at those stats and buy too much into it. Again, I'm not pretending like he's a great Corey Linsley type center, but he's perfect for what the Chargers need right now. And it gives them flexibility in the draft. I do kind of like the 1 year deal. I wasn't sure what he'd get as an older guy, as a released player. It makes sense with the 1 year deal, but I wasn't really sure. With this, you now have, I think, at least competition heading into camp. He probably is your starter to start off. And then let things play out. If, say, it's Mason McCormick in the third round, or if it's Frazier in the second round, like those guys battle it out. You feel good about Bozeman, but you don't have to force a rookie to start. Let it happen naturally. The Chargers have listed him as center. At least when they signed him, they said center. You can play either. If he's your center, and I assume he's your center and your starting center, he probably doesn't get much wiggle room throughout the season. If someone, you know, if Jamari Sawyer gets hurt or if Zion gets hurt, he's probably not your left guard. If he's playing well, like your center is your center, don't change it around. But I feel pretty good about this signing. I think it's exactly what the Chargers needed.
Yeah, I agree there. I think this is certainly not like a home run signing. Like the Corey Linsley signing was amazing. It changed the, you know, trajectory of the offensive line. And he's a force multiplier at center. This is not that. You're paying for competency here, which I felt like was the mission of free agency for the Chargers, and just to be able to plug as many roles as you possibly could with at least decent players. And you're getting an upgrade over Will Clapp, but you're not getting a long-term upgrade over Corey Linsley by any means. So this is a guy who just gives the team flexibility in terms of draft philosophy, flexibility in terms of roster competition. Like you said, the team is projecting him at center. I think that's probably where he's going to play anyways. But let's say they trade down in the draft and they get 11 and 23, and Jackson Powers Johnson is sitting there at 23. I'm not passing on Jackson Powers Johnson because I signed Bradley Bozeman. You know what I mean? So they could still be aggressive at center if they want to be. And Bradley Bozeman could then give you competition at guard. So he's played a ton of snaps at guard. I forget the exact number, but his first three seasons, I believe, in Baltimore were at guard. And then he's played center as well for the last three seasons. So he's a fine center. I think the fit in Carolina was not anything great, but he's been able to have a very strong fit in the Greg Roman offense. He's obviously familiar with Joe Ortiz and the rest of the scouting staff. So it just checks a lot of boxes, and they did not have the resources to pay for an elite center. Like Lloyd Cushenberry signed a monster deal with the Tennessee Titans, and they just did not have that kind of flexibility. So we don't know the specifics in terms of the contract, but I can't imagine it's going to be anything huge. And he's not going to count against the compensatory pick because the Panthers cut him. So this is a solid signing. This is a guy who can be a reliable veteran for you, but he's not going to be a guy who is going to force you from passing on a high-end center if you get the chance to do that in the draft. So whether it's in the first round and at 37, if one is there and you love him, you take him and Bozeman is your guard. If not, you can wait. You can take a Hunter Norzad or a Tanner Bordellini in the fourth round or so on and so on. So it's just solid player, gives the Chargers a lot of flexibility going forward.
Yeah, I can't. This is not a perfect match, but it's like if the Chargers had brought in a good blocking tight end last year. And so, like, okay, you let the tight end board fall to you, but you don't have to, like, go out and reach for one. Now, they didn't take any, nor did they bring in a blocking tight end. That explains last season in a nutshell, I feel like. But now, look, if one of these receivers or corners falls to you at 37, and they're like one of those guys, and they're just significantly better on the grade in the fit for the scheme, whatever. Sure. Then let's say Cedric Van Pran. Like let's say Cedric Van Pran is center four in this class. And sure. I would much rather take, let's say it's Adonai Mitchell, or it's, I don't know, maybe they want Keon Coleman or whoever. There are so many receiver options that are just that good at corner.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Sainer still. Maybe it's Lassiter. I don't know who they'd want. But you could go with those options. Like, it's just, I would so much rather go D tackle, receiver, or corner at 37 than center, unless one of those really good players falls to you at 37. I would just hate to feel like I had to reach for one where I have such a great receiver prospect sitting there, or corner or whatever.
Yeah, you pointed this out on Twitter earlier today. You know, this is a signing that allows the Chargers to really focus in on the strength of the draft classes. Like, that was always such a frustration of mine of the Tom Telesco era, is that, like, I never really felt like they took advantage of the high-end classes, like the tight end group last year. And not to say that, you know, Joe Ortiz and the Ravens have been perfect by any means, but now you have a guy who's not going to pencil you into forcing your hand in drafting a center. So you can go draft a defensive tackle at 37, draft a corner at 37, draft a receiver at 37. And it just gives you a lot of flexibility, and it shows what Joe Ortiz is all about. He's about, you know, filling these roles as much as he possibly can in free agency with solid, reliable veteran presences. And then you address the star talent in the draft. And I think that's how it should be. Granted, he also did create another roster hole by trading Keenan Allen, but this is about free agency.
Okay. Obviously, it's been about a weekish, or less than a week now, a few days. If you're going to create a roster hole, at least it's at receiver or corner or something. Like, the Chargers are prepared to address those with the best parts of the class, which I think is so impressive. I mean, you can take in the first round, in the second round, in the third round, whatever, receiver, corner, D-tackle. That's literally the three best position groups in the class. So setting yourself up to take not just like great players, but deep, strong position groups at any point that allows you to either get a great player or even trade back. I doubt they'd trade up, but that option is there. And Ortiz, the Ravens have done it. So it's a great spot to be in. Again, other than the Keenan Allen trade, I genuinely believe that Ortiz, Harbaugh, and everyone have been acing this free agency period. I think it's a strong start. People will say, well, it's not like great players by any means, but that's kind of where the Chargers are at. But it makes sense, like, for what the Chargers need right now. So, sure, is it not a $20 million other player, edge rusher, D tackle, whatever? No, but it's exactly what the Chargers needed. And I can't really disagree with any of these moves so far, except for one.
You can't disagree with the additions. We can say that for sure.
I cannot disagree with any additions. I'll tell you that.
But to kind of wrap this up on Bozeman in particular, I think, you know, the Chargers went into the offseason saying there was a lot of talk about solving the run game, and we haven't seen it by any means, obviously, but everything that they have added to this offense so far points to that, right? So you bring in Greg Roman, run game savant, you add a blocking tight end as your first real addition in Will Dissly, you add a big physical running back, Gus Edwards. You had a big physical center who's a great run blocker. He's not a great pass protector, like you mentioned earlier, but he's one of the best run blocking centers in the league over the last four seasons. You know, in terms of Pro Football Focus run blocking grade, his average across the last three seasons is a 71.6, which is 11th among all centers that have qualified per the snap minimum metric. So this is a guy that can block his ass off in the run game. And it's going to be very different. Not to say that Corey Lindsey was a bad run blocker, but he was a smaller guy. He was more of a technique, timing, athleticism center. And Bozeman is a big physical people moving center. So it's going to be a little different for us to look at, you know, what he is just from a aesthetic standpoint and what kind of profile he brings to the table.
Yeah. And also, I haven't done enough, hey, which center weighs this much or whatever. But if you look at some of the centers that we've studied, you've got the guys in the first round, seventh round, whatever, everything in between. I would now start looking for a Bozeman type potentially. One, because they drafted him. Two, because they've now signed him. So, or at least the Ravens did, and now the Chargers have signed him. So looking for more of those guys. Because there's a lot of really good centers in this class, but some of them are movers, and they're lighter, and they're great in space, and they're killers in space, and that's great. That's not necessarily what the Chargers need. So looking for some of those guys, now I can start kind of focusing. Not that I wasn't looking for a kind of a gap power big guy before, but now I'm trying to like look for like those Bozeman types.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting transition at the position in general around the league. The guys at the Athletic Football Show, Nate Tice and Robert Mays, were discussing this. There's a real emphasis going on about like getting more size and physicality at center. I mean, the Rams are going to play Steve Avila at center, and he's like 330 pounds. Jackson Powers Johnson is going to come into the league right now. He's 330 pounds. So for a really long time, we had the Corey Lindsey, the Jason Kelsey, undersized athletic types. What was his name that played for the Falcons for a long time? Alex Mack was another one. Mm-hmm. We had those undersized athletic types, and there still are those types around the league, especially with how many, you know, Shanahan guys are out there still. But there's, it really seems like there's a real emphasis on getting bigger at the center position and getting more physical. And so Bozeman fits that. I am curious to see if they draft that same kind of archetype. That would be Hunter Norzad later on, in my opinion. I don't believe that Tanner Bordellini is that big physical kind of player. Cedric Van Pran, a little undersized, but from a mentality play style standpoint, I think he would fit that as well.
Yeah, I don't think this is by any means a counter specifically to Wilkins, but like as Ben points out, like when defensive tackles are getting better and stronger and faster and everything, you got to counter. So I think Bozeman is a pretty solid counter to Wilkins. Not necessarily Chris Jones, but nobody's a counter to Chris Jones. So you just kind of like pray and hope there's a contract dispute or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, Christian Wilkins, like people made a big deal about his pass rush production, but he's a good pass rusher. He's an awesome run defender. Like that's his bag. And so, you know, that certainly makes sense. And also Chris Jones is not a great run defender, you know, for the regular season, at least in the postseason, he's certainly gone, but
yeah,
in the regular season, he can be had there. So, you know, it's a fantastic point. I mean, look at what the Panthers did. We just made fun of them, right? But they paid $100 million to Robert Hunt. And then they gave $60 million to Damian Lewis. Like, you know, not every position can become a premium position, but there's a lot of like give and take here. And so now that defensive tackle is widely considered a premium position, and there's so many guys out there that can rush the passer and create havoc, you know, guards and centers are going to be much more important. They've always been important, right? But now teams, I think, are going to start reflecting that both in draft pick status as well as financially contracts considerations too.
Yeah, I also appreciate that Bozeman has played so many snaps and he's been very consistent with those snaps. I didn't look at what happened in 2022, but otherwise over 1,000 snaps in 5 of the last 6 years, even in the quote unquote down season, he played 680. I don't think Zion and Jamari Sawyer really need to go into this year, new scheme, new ideas and everything. Thankfully, same position, and have to see their center leave again. That's the only real detractor of Corey Linsley's career with the Chargers. Is that one was very much so, they're all not his fault, but one was more of a health thing, but like the consistent in and out of the lineup, especially the year Herbert had his rib injury, just so difficult for them to get going. I think it's nice to just have, even if it's, let's say it's average play, it's the same guy, hopefully for all 17 games, maybe more games if they make it the postseason. But I think that's kind of an underrated aspect here too.
Yeah, and you know, to just put a bow on this, you know, Luke pointing out his pass blocking is certainly a struggle. It was not a great asset of his in Carolina. The hope, I think, is he'd be in a better scheme he's more familiar with. And regardless of what you think about Zion and Jamari Sawyer or whoever is playing at right guard, he's going to be playing with better guards than what he was playing with in Carolina, where it was like Brady Christensen and Deontay Brown and not much else. So. I think his play will be better. I'm certainly not going to predict that he puts out Corey Linsley numbers as a pass protector, but I don't think he's going to be 29th in pass blocking this year. Assuming health, assuming, you know, positive reaction to the scheme and all that stuff. It feels more like you're paying for like an 15th to 18th range in terms of pass protection. And I think you can live with that for 1 year.
Yeah. As Kareem says, we don't hold having a bad season against Panthers players. Yeah, I'd say so. Their offense was quite a mess last year. I believe PFF does credit the center for the sack if it's their fault, and they'll attribute separate sacks to the quarterback. So I don't think any of these eight are Bryce Young's fault specifically. I don't think. I can't say I watch Panthers film. But when your offense has no idea what it's doing, your line can't protect, you have a rookie quarterback who throws 40 yards a game, and none of your receivers can separate, yeah, you're going to give it more pressures because I'm sure you're holding on to the ball not in 2.2 seconds to getting it out. It's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, 4,000, 1,000. So, again, yeah. I don't really hold that against him. Even the previous year without Bryce Young, I don't know. Who was the quarterback in 2022? Was it just everybody?
That was like everybody, but I think Andy Dalton was the guy who played the most.
Okay, yeah. And for that, I mean, fewer snaps, of course, but like, PBE was better, only 2 sacks, only 12 pressures. Like,
yeah,
I can't help but notice the difference in the jump when everything changed on offense.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, what the Frank Reich offense like puts on the center versus the quarterback in terms of protections. It sounds like, you know, the protection plans are a little bit more simpler with the Greg Roman offense. It doesn't place a ton of pressure on anybody, which I think is going to be good for the entire offensive line. But, if push comes to shove, you have a guy like Justin Herbert who has really taken a big positive step in the, you know, mental aspect of identifying pass protections and stuff like that from last season.
Yep.
All right. So the Chargers have signed a pair of linebackers at this point. So it's not just Deion Henley and Nick Neiman in the room anymore. Troy Dye, former Oregon Duck, former teammate of Justin Herbert, if you have missed the videos already. And then Denzel Perryman is back with the Chargers as well. We mentioned that a little bit on Saturday. Didn't dive into specifics here. A lot of people complaining about Denzel Perryman coming back. We've already done this. We've seen this story. They could have paid for a more expensive, better linebacker. What are your thoughts on the return of Mr. Denzel Perryman, and what do you kind of expect his role to be on the Chargers in 2024?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd have to go look at the Texans and DeMeco Ryans and that defense and how he played over there. Obviously, this is not your long-term option at linebacker. In a vacuum, just looking at these two players, the other starter being Deion Henley for now, I do feel like that pairing is a really good fit. Henley's barely played any football. He was not even like the second or third, sometimes not even the fourth guy last year at linebacker. But what he does do as a new to the position converted safety is he covers well and he rushes well. Yeah. And I think that Perryman can rush well, but he's your go hit the guy, run defender kind of type. So I think it's a very good mix of the two. I think Henley in coverage, rushing the passer, etc. I think a veteran in front of him is really nice. Perryman, very much so the run defender, can do some other things. Obviously went with the Raiders, became a Pro Bowl player, as crazy as that sounds. the only concern, obviously, with this linebacker room is the injury history with Denzel Perryman. That was a bigger thing with the Chargers than when it was when he left, of course. Yeah. But last year he did miss a game with a wrist injury, I believe. Then he had a rib injury that knocked him out of the wild card game, but he ended up playing in the divisional round. And then he missed three games because of a suspension, because of a hit that was like, why would he be suspended for that? I don't know. But they suspended it for too many, not illegal hits or something of that.
Yeah. Nature. He had too many personal foul, whatever penalties.
Yeah. And it was a nothing burger. Maybe the ones before that were bad, but the one he got specifically suspended for was ridiculous. But I just think I mostly think it's just flexibility in the draft. You put a stable presence there. And I think that while Chargers fans want a better linebacker there, maybe they want a younger linebacker, a more expensive one, a multi-year one. I just think this is maybe the position the Chargers go, we're going to let it be in 2024, excuse me, what year am I? And just let it rock from there. You know, let Henley develop, he becomes your linebacker one, et cetera. And I also don't think that it prevents the Chargers from then acquiring a linebacker at the deadline. Like, and I don't think it's a $100 million contract for Roquan Smith by any means, but I think the Chargers will just let this play out. Let the draft come to them. Like, at this point, you probably have to take Junior Colson in the second round, but you let the draft go to you. And should he appear in the third round, you can go, okay, cool. We waited patiently. Didn't take one in the second round. He's there. We'll take him. I think it's kind of like Bozeman, just allows you to be flexible. It's not a great class. I've watched like two of three linebackers and I just kind of didn't want to watch anymore. So frankly, like, other than spending a ton of money on a linebacker, this was probably this range of player. It was kind of your next best option.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Denzel Perryman's role, like we all know what he is. He's a run defender first. He's a coverage player second, and probably not even second, but he's still a really good run defender. I was watching some Houston Texans tape last night. You still see what made Denzel Perryman such a fan favorite in terms of his physicality, in terms of his instincts, in terms of how fast he can close the gaps. You do not see the same range sideline to sideline. So that is certainly an issue for him going forward. But I think what his role with the Texans, I think is probably going to be pretty similar with the Chargers. If you look at his like snap counts, it got progressively lower and lower throughout the season. He started the season as the green dot guy. He was calling plays. He was playing every single snap. because the Texans had two younger linebackers, Christian Harris, who they drafted in 2022, and then Henry Tooto from Alabama, who they drafted last year. And those two were kind of like coming along and taking their lumps and things like that. And so Christian Harris started as kind of like the linebacker two. He ended the season as the linebacker one. Denzel Perryman started as linebacker one. He ended the season as kind of like linebacker 2A, 2B kind of deal, splitting with Henry Tooto. So that's kind of what I envision his role to be with the Chargers in terms of a snap count. He probably will start as kind of their linebacker one, and unless they draft one in the second round, maybe that guy could be your linebacker one. But he's your linebacker one for now. He's your play caller for now. In the long term, he's your run defense linebacker. So in an ideal world, like the guy you draft or Diane Henley becomes that linebacker one eventually by the end of the season. So it's a guy to just kind of like stabilize the room a bit here. And worst case scenario, he is your first and second down linebacker guy. He can punch your other teams in the mouth, that kind of guy. And it'll be a lot of fun to see. But like Tyler mentioned, the injuries are certainly a concern. Although he stayed mostly healthy in Houston and Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's mostly been healthy, so it's not like it's been a huge problem. Mostly just a Chargers thing from back in the day. But the Chargers want to win now. They talked about winning now. Obviously not the best version of their team that they'll have. But in 2024, they want to win. One-year signings with Bozeman, with Perryman, et cetera, right the ship. That's kind of the neighborhood they're in.
Yeah, and I know there was a tweet from, I forget his name, not Jason from OTC, but Nick, I think his name is Nick Court, the other over the cap guy.
Sure.
Anyways, there was a tweet that the Chargers were potentially going to lose a compensatory pick because of this signing from Denzel Perryman. But Kyle D on Twitter pointed this out that as it currently stands, the Chargers would need like, I think, four signings above $3 million to basically push Denzel Perryman back down the list, which would allow them to have that compensatory pick from Jared Everett stick to be a compensatory pick. So I'm not too concerned there. Like, Tyler Boyd's a free agent still. You know, there's going to be some other more expensive additions there, like Stephon Gilmore, Steven Nelson, some of the pass rushers, Kyle Van Noy, maybe not Kyle Van Noy, but Jadeveon Clowney still is a free agent. So that kind of group is going to push Denzel Perryman's contract down. And I would imagine that there's some heavy incentives on that contract. So just wanted to mention that. I do think the Chargers will ultimately get the compensatory pick back from, or not back, but I think the compensatory pick for Jared Everett will stick as it was previously projected.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't, I never pictured 2025 and the comp picks to really be the big deal. This to me felt like the 2026 thing. So you take the players you have, your Bozeman and Perryman and all these guys and some other future free agents. Those guys go, you're really playing comp picks for 2026. Anything at this point in 2025 is just a bonus.
Yeah. Are there Tyler Boyd rumors? I have not seen anything on Twitter there.
You know, probably the same rumors as Justin Jefferson being traded for Mike Williams. And that didn't happen. So there's always rumors and rumblings and source and this and that. And, you know, broken
Lions season, clock. Baby.
Right. Yeah. My favorite.
Yeah,
Denver's on. All right, see you guys.
All right, episode's over. No, in all seriousness, I would be very surprised if Tyler Boyd became a Charger. I think they are going to try their best to protect those potential two compensatory picks, and signing him, I think, just it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I if they sign a receiver, to me, it should be a younger guy. Like, Paris Campbell would be a better signing for me than Tyler Boyd. Given
Is Tyler Boyd almost 30?
Yeah, man, he's old. He's been in the league for a long time.
What? I never would have. Yeah, he'll be 30 this year. Dang, I did not realize he was a 2016 draft pick. Huh.
Yeah. Okay, so the other linebacker signing is Mr. Troy Dye. Like I mentioned, former teammate of Justin Herbert at Oregon. The initial tweet that Ian Rappaport sent out that he is a special teams guy, obviously, you know, played with Ryan Ficken previously, but there was a chance that the Chargers were offering him to, you know, play a bigger role on defense going forward. I'm not going to lie, I have not watched Troy Dye tape. I liked him a decent amount coming out of the draft. But to me, this is just the Chargers lost Amen Ogbonmamiga, who honestly, I completely thought was still on the roster until he signed with the Bears. So this is just an Amon replacement, but any thoughts for you that Troy Dye could actually carve out a role here on defense?
Yeah, I think you let it play out. I think that Henley's probably still your linebacker too, but he's played 54 snaps in the regular season. And I think Troy Dye, granted over multiple seasons, has 300 or 400, something like that. So I think you could let it play out. Henley is your future or should be your future. So I think he plays and starts. But Dye, like you said, I think is Amon Ogbonbamiga's replacement. And I think we always confuse Amon because Nick Neiman was the same year. He's still on the team, but because Amon is an undrafted free agent. And then was he ever cut and then brought back? I could be wrong.
I don't think he made the roster initially his rookie season, did he?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't remember. But yes, I think he's Amon's replacement and he'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Guilty as pops.
Guilty as pops. Popper is welcome on the show anytime. We're probably going to have him on either here or the Chargers channel before the draft. So we'll have an appearance from Daniel Popper before at some time soon. But yeah, I mean, Ryan Ficken can get what Ryan Ficken wants. Like, this is what this comes down to me. If he wants a linebacker to continue to play special teams, you know, he can have whatever he wants at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree. Looking at just his special team snaps, he had 11 his last year with Ryan Ficken, and then he left, and then he's had 11 in 2 years since. So Ryan Ficken will get it done. He'll be amazing. I'm sure he'll make some great plays on primetime.
You mean special teams tackles?
Yes, special teams tackles.
Okay. I was like, 11 snaps is not a lot. But yeah, no. Tackles, that's good. That's a good number, actually.
Yeah. No, it's a really good number. I think it was like in the top 25 that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, in terms of moves, the Chargers did let Michael Davis walk in free agency, so he has decided to sign with the Washington Commanders following Austin Ekeler and reuniting with Anthony Lynn, as well as getting back to the system that drafted him. So Dan Quinn obviously shares a lot of defensive DNA with Gus Bradley. There's been no terms leaked, at least not yet at this point in time. So usually we get like, oh, like so-and-so is signing with so-and-so for X amount of money. That didn't happen. The team just like, hey, we signed this guy. but I think it's a good fit for Michael Davis. I would imagine there's a decent chance at a comp pick, but we have not seen anything official here. If it's anything, it would be a low compensatory pick because I'm not going to think that Michael Davis signed for, you know, a big amount of money. But like $3 million with upside, I think is reasonable for a cornerback of his stature, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm actually surprised he went to that Gus back to that kind of Gus Bradley, Dan Quinn sort of defense. given that he said so much recently before this past season, how much he likes playing up close, man, pressing, using his hands, etc.
Yeah,
but he's obviously familiar with it. And frankly, like, I don't know if this defense, this style of defense that he just was a part of, did him any favors in the end. So I also get why he'd go back.
Yeah, this could be more related to like Anthony Lynn than Gus, than Dan Quinn. I don't know. Also, it's just like
the most. Yeah.
Or Washington was the only team interested in him. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's great. I know that they didn't draft a corner last. No.
Yeah, they drafted the skinny guy. What's his name? Forbes.
Forbes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have Forbes.
But they lost Kendall Fuller in free agency, so.
Gotcha. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about the Commanders depth chart. So, yeah, I mean, there's a role, though. I mean, Michael Davis can play really good football, and technically this is the every other year upswing year. So, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, 2020 was very good. 2020 was very bad. 2022 is very good, and 2023 is very bad. So,
yeah,
you know, this is technically his probably the last year of his prime, his athletic prime, at least for a corner.
Yeah, potentially.
He's 30, still right? Got it.
He should be pretty close. I don't know how old he is, though.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we have some super chats to get to, and then we'll sign off. I know all of you guys are dying to get over to Hops with Pops, so we just wanted to do a quick episode tonight. We'll have Trevor Sikkema on the Chargers channel on Wednesday, but wanted to make sure we had an episode in before then. So, Josh Morrison, this is a great question. I've certainly wanted to address this in some capacity. He wants to know who will benefit most from the Harbaugh effect, OND. If you had to pick one player on each side, Tyler, who would you choose?
Zion Johnson and Joey Bosa. I think for all the Harbaugh reasons, not just Harbaugh, but Minter and Herbert and everything else, that helps Bosa quite a bit. Frankly, he needs it. And then Zion Johnson, the fact that he has checked, he before the draft checked every box,
yeah,
and was great at everything, film, stats, Senior Bowl, dominated guard, center at the Senior Bowl, you name it, smart guy, everything, RES, beautiful. And the fact that he hasn't really become that, yeah, at least even a very, very good guard yet, kind of to me feels a bit on coaching. You put Harbaugh, Greg Roman, this scheme together, and hopefully Slater's healthy and Bozeman works out. Like, I think those two guys will benefit the most.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we loved Zion coming out. You know, this is certainly a make or break season for him, you know, barring his first 2 years, but the flashes have always been there. Like, the good Zion games are so much fun to watch. It's just like the consistency factor was never there. It has not been there to this point, I should say. So hopefully it gets to that point. I think on offense, benefit the most, I think, implies like a leap forward from somebody. And maybe that could happen with him. But I think Josh Palmer is just like, a very typical Jim Harbaugh wide receiver. You know, in San Francisco, he had Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin. Not to say that he's, because those were great players, you know,
right?
But Palmer's not that. But stylistically, like, he fits that like tough, dirty work kind of role that Harbaugh seems to like. So I think Josh Palmer, you know, if he stays healthy, that's kind of the big thing. I think his role will get solidified, and I think he would be my choice. Obviously, I would love for this answer to be Quentin Johnston, because it would make the roster that much better. But I think Josh Palmer, just stylistically and personality-wise, just fits what Harbaugh wants at wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good call there. Josh Palmer, I mean, he's great. He just is not healthy all the time, and it's such a bummer. Yeah. If they can get health out of him and he fits, and obviously he's like now the wide receiver too, probably is the wide receiver too. Even if they take, let's say, Neighbors, I think he's awesome, and I hope he does well. I've been rooting for him since the 30 snaps he played, I feel like, his rookie season. But you watch him and go, oh, there's something there. And he's just, it's so close. Contract year, man. Like, I think this could be a pretty good season from him.
Yeah. Defensively, I mean, there's a couple guys that I think just like by sheer nature of like the roster, like, I think Otito could benefit a ton from this defense, but also they need him to play a lot because they don't really have any other options. I think the biggest leap is going to come from Derwin. Like, I think Derwin was a solid safety last year. I don't think he was like as bad as people make him out to be online, but he certainly took a step back. A lot of that is all the stuff going on around him, but I think Jesse Minter is going to bring him back to being a Pro Bowl, all pro type of safety. He's been training MMA stuff with Jake Glazer and everybody, which I love to see. I think this is a perfect fit for Derwin James. I think we see Derwin get back to his former self. I think still think there's, you know, 2-3 years left of high end play in there, and Jesse Minter will be able to bring that back out.
Yeah, no, this is, we even asked Cody Alexander about this, and I just think everything Minter wants to do with Derwin. It's funny because we got so hyped and so caught up in the wow, here's all the things that he could do. And Minter even said as much, like some people get, I almost felt like a thinly veiled shot. Some people get so caught up in what he could do, they don't just think of like the few things that he just does freaking great and let him go do that. So not only do I think that he'll be better with this defense and with Minter or with Harbaugh anyway, but they're probably going to get a corner or two and really shore up the secondary. And that just helps Derwin a lot anyway. So I think that, yeah, it should be a return to form for sure.
Yeah. All right, I'll get to the next one here from Cody Spencer.
No, we're not. Time out. No, I'm taking this one for sure. I have to, Joseph. I have to recognize the Lord of the Rings quote. Okay, moving on. Thank you, Joseph. I see you.
Nicely done. That is definitely a way to get answered on this show. If you drop a Lord of the Rings quote, you will get on the YouTube channel for sure.
There you go.
All right, from Cody here. Sorry if you already talked about Mike, but how would you rank the likelihood of Mike's landing spots between the Jets, the Steelers, the Panthers, or back to the Chargers? So these are all scenarios that have been mentioned by the national reporters, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Josina Anderson, you name it. I believe he is visiting with the Jets tomorrow, I think is what Josina Anderson said. And then Steelers later this week, Panthers after that. This feels like a Panthers overpay to me. He's from the area. Uh-huh. They need to make sure Bryce Young has weapons. He kind of fits differently than who they have in the building already. It just feels like that's the case here. I hope it's not the ultimate landing spot for him, just because I do not trust that regime to, you know, get him the football as much as he deserves. More so the quarterback, I guess I should say. But the Panthers feel like the most likely to me, just based off of vibes only.
Yeah, that was mine. Is it the best situation? Absolutely not. But he is, in terms of quarterback at least, and coaching and franchise and beer throwing owners and stuff like that. I think that it's a good spot for Bryce Young, right, to get Mike Williams. I mean, the ability to throw it up, that's great. But yeah, could just be a Panthers overpay here. And hey, I'd respect it. You know, go to Carolina. I don't think the Chargers play them this year. Do they? Oh, they do.
They do, yes.
They do play the Panthers this year. Great. As long as we're not playing an Arrowhead, we'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't think he really fits the Jets offense. Granted, if Aaron Rodgers wants him, I'm sure they would pay for him.
That's an overpay. That'll be an overpay. Yeah,
that'll be an overpay. The Steelers, I'm not crazy about like him catching passes from Russell Wilson, but the one thing we know Russell Wilson and the Steelers like to do is throw a shit ton of go balls, and that is what Mike Williams does best. So there are worse fits out there from a schematic standpoint than the Steelers.
Yeah. Maybe it's Fields. Maybe it's Wilson.
Yeah. Hopefully an NFC team, though. I would be pretty surprised if he came back to the Chargers, though. I think that...
Yes.
It would have to be a like very low number, I think, for the Chargers to actually pull the trigger there. And I think also it probably might be time to like move on. And I think they're very much trying to get younger, more explosive at the position. So I would rate the chances of him coming back to the Chargers pretty low.
Yeah. In the off chance, it's a terrible market and everyone just cannot clear him medically and they're worried about his long term. Or even just short term this season, maybe. But frankly, the Chargers don't say thanks for everything in a media post and then
bring him back.
Like the Chargers typically don't do that. Not that they're, you know, not that the media group is in the front office by any means, but Yeah, I think when you say goodbye, it is a goodbye. In maybe in 8 more years, he joins the Chargers again, like Perryman and Itauchu and these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. When he's, you know, on the edge of his career. So I would say, to sum up, I think Panthers feels like the most likely. Jets feel like the second most likely after that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Last one here from Justin, a.k.a. So Light. With the Bozeman signing, how much cap do we have left? I didn't see any numbers here on the Bozeman contract. I don't know if that's come out yet since we've been
seeing it. Haven't seen anything. If someone's seen it, let me know. But we're still waiting on a couple of contracts. I don't even know if Hurst is on here yet.
No, he's not. So in terms of the Chargers, the Joey Bosa deal officially came in on Over the Cap this morning. So Joey's cap number this year went from $36 million to $26 million for 2024. The team cap space now is at $38.7 million, according to Over the Cap. So that's the total. Let me make sure I get this right. So Bradley Bozeman is not on there. Hayden Hurst is not on there. Denzel Perryman is not on there. Troy Dye is not on there. So there haven't been any real updates there. The Chargers will probably need $11 million-ish to sign their draft class. And then teams typically like to have around $8 million for in-season budget and things like that. So really the Chargers are at like $22, $23 million in total spending space. And then we will see it. What those numbers for the other contracts come in, but it's like probably cap numbers around 2 or 3 million ish for each player, I would guess.
Yeah, well, let's say with the draft in consideration, let's say $20 million with, because Joe Hardy's, they're gonna sign some guys at the, in August and September.
Sure,
so the in-season budget is definitely, I think, it will either be higher or will be used more than previously. So that 38 with the draft class, with in season, with these moves, let's say $20 million is actually left, because I don't want to do $19 million or something.
That's fair. But yeah, we don't have numbers here. I don't think Bozeman's contract will be ultimately that much. Maybe like a $5 million contract and like a $2.5-3 million cap hit. But we'll certainly have a larger breakdown, I guess, once the numbers are all officially into Over the Cap. So still waiting there.
I guess my last question before we go, in the chat, you can respond to this too. Is there a big move on the way? Because I've gotten 1.5 billion DMs saying, okay, you don't have all this money for nothing, so what are they using it for? My response most of the time is, I feel like it's $3-5 million kind of moves, 1 year deal sort of things. Do you, or chat, do you feel that there is a big move on the way? And I guess then my next question is, what would it be, or what position?
I don't feel like a big trade is coming. I feel like this regime is going to value the draft picks that they have, try to acquire more draft picks. Obviously, they traded Keenan Allen because they want more draft picks. So I don't think it'll be a trade. I kind of side with you that they're probably looking at more smaller signings right now. And maybe if there's a, you know, relatively bigger name in the summer that could be had that costs you 2025 draft capital instead of 2024, I think I wouldn't be shocked at that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I could see that.
Yeah. Or, you know, if like Dalton Risner still is unsigned in the summer, like maybe that's kind of like your bigger signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see if Chargers fans can handle that.
Sorry, I was laughing at the mention of Corey Davis, the receiver who retired last year.
Oh. Well, yeah, I don't know about that one.
He's back, but...
Oh, he is.
He did not play last year.
Gotcha. yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, my expectation is like smaller, cheaper deals for the short term. Maybe something bigger in the summer happens.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the show today. It seems like most of it stayed pretty steady, even with Hops with Pop going on. So hopefully you can go enjoy that. As always, tonight's show was brought to you by Prize Picks. You can go use Prize Picks for all of your March Madness NBA desires. very easy to use. It's a great way to earn some money, and you can go get a deposit match up to $100 over at prizepicks.com/guilty. Tyler, any other final thoughts before we head out?
PrizePicks is fantastic. They gave me a free foreplay. Well, that sounds okay. They gave me anyway. Final thoughts from Tyler. They gave me a free FOUR-play flex play on Prize Picks, and yeah, I got $60. Sounds great. Go. Yeah, nice. And I only got $60 out of that. That's the only thing I got out of that. Wow. Yeah, just go to Haas with Pops. He's a professional. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, just sign off.
All right, guys. I appreciate you. We'll see you on Thursday. As always, Bolt Up.